This is an
ENN
special report. Now reporting.
Michael, you into Grandma Pie?
No.
ENN's at 6.
When the clock struck 6, it meant one thing.
It's in Pompano Beach.
Mom!
Tom Thibo Diaw.
Now, from the ESPN New York News Desk, here's
Rosenbaum or whatever that guy's name is.
No wonder your show is number one.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to welcome you to ENN on this Friday evening, where I come to you from Orlando, Florida. We'll start off tonight by saying good evening to Michael.
Ballard misunderstood.
Well, because he's not bright.
And then I'd like to say good evening to Don.
Buffalo Bills went out and got who?
Trey Diggs.
Stephon Diggs, because they said everybody.
That'll live forever.
You know, I think we hadn't heard it all week, and I missed it. Like, I missed it. I didn't even realize how much I missed it, Michael. It felt
how
so
life
good.
Is.
Well, I am in Orlando, Florida, where the WWE Thunderdome is located, and I will be hosting the Clash of Champions kickoff show Sunday, 6 o'clock, WWE YouTube and the WWE Network. It's going to be a great show. Great, great show. Tune in.
You wearing socks?
I brought socks. I just haven't been feeling them recently, but I might wear the socks. Or do you ever wear loafers?
Yeah, but I usually do wear socks.
But yeah, I just haven't worn these loafers with socks yet. But I think I'm going to try it. Guys.
Yeah.
Let's talk a little football to start things off, because I don't know if you're aware, it's a football Friday. So, yeah, you are aware. Okay, good. I'm glad. We'll keep it with the New York Jets. Jamison Crowder, Breshad Perriman have some news. And George Fant. All out. All out this weekend. No Crowder, no Perriman for the Jets. Let's hear from Bart Scott saying on earlier today that the Jets have no identity.
The fact that they came out lethargic, they weren't ready to play in their home opener against the San Francisco 49ers, gave up an 80-yard run, showed that they didn't, they were ill-prepared and they lacked the passion and enthusiasm to believe in the plan. They left plays out there, but that was a winnable game. The Buffalo Bills was a winnable game. And it's not that they're losing, it's how they're losing. It looks like they're inadequate. It looks like they don't have a clue. It looks like they have no philosophy, or we don't know what brand of football that they're deciding to play. Are they ground and pound? Are they an air raid type of offense? They're a team with no identity, so they had identity crisis. If you don't know who we are and what our philosophy are, how can you implement the game plan?
Besides that, how do they seem, Bart?
In what world, though, was that Bills game a winnable game?
Wait, what? Oh, week one?
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess
so. That
was
a winnable game against Buffalo, winnable game against San Francisco. Really?
Yeah, San Francisco, maybe.
No, San Francisco, but not Buffalo.
Not Buffalo. I hear you.
I mean, but even going into the game, I'm not sure that anybody thought it was necessarily winnable, but whatever.
Couple more injury things for you guys.
Tell us.
I mentioned there was an injury for the Cardinals. Their wide receiver, Christian Kirk, is out. As long as it's not DeAndre, I still like them. Falcons may be out. Julio, game time decision. Just said it. Crowder out. Devontae, doubtful. For the pack, Patriots center David Andrews undergoes thumb surgery.
Oh, that makes your pick look better.
And Vic Beasley of the Titans is set for his debut. In Tampa, Rob Gronkowski has either shed some light on or maybe made light of his performance so far, saying, quote, "I came here to block, baby."
Well, also, Bruce Arians kind of took a shot at him. Bruce Arians not holding back.
Oh, well, that was going to be part of my analysis with the pick.
That's part of a new segment, Arians Watch. Arians Attack Watch.
He really beat up his team, so you hope they respond.
I mean, he said, hey, if Gronk doesn't catch a pass, so what? Then he blocks. That's maybe what Gronk was
And Gronk
up
said,
on.
I'm a blocking tight end. I came here to block, baby. He said, so four targets is four more than I thought I was going to get. In a more serious tone, Gronk noted that the game plan can change each week and, quote, will just keep on fighting. So, by the way, Michael, I rarely tout, you know, random moments on the show as, like, being great. But since I meant to text you, but I'll tell you on the air.
Okay.
Don and I had a moment yesterday where we were breaking down the sexiness of the games this week.
Right.
That's worth you actually listening to the podcast.
Okay.
RJ, did it make the podcast? Or is it gone forever?
No, nothing's gone forever. We have it. I'll get it to Michael. No worries.
Yeah, I'll definitely spend part of my weekend listening.
See, I don't think that was genuine.
He's not going to do it. He's just, you know what? He's just not. And it sickens me because I think he would enjoy it.
It was
fantastic.
So let me get this straight. If you follow me, please. So I got a game tonight, and I'll have a game tomorrow afternoon, and then a game at 3 o'clock on Sunday. So the little time I'm going to spend with my children and wife, I'm going to listen to a podcast of you guys being brilliant. I know you're brilliant.
You don't have a car ride home by yourself, do you?
Or there.
Right.
You can listen to it on the way to the ballpark tomorrow.
Yeah. Wow. It's on, what was it, 4 minutes? 3 minutes?
Yeah, it wasn't long.
I'll be honest with you. There's very little chance it's happening.
No, I knew it when he said it.
Wow. It may have been a top 15 funny moment all time on the show, Don. I'll go that far. It was
better than me winking at Katie?
Yes. Crushed that. Don, you would agree. Crushed that, correct?
Yes.
This was different. This was special. Tweet Michael if you were listening yesterday at 6:30. You heard it. All right, let's go over the schedule for this Sunday. Get you ready. Your 1 o'clockers look like this. The beautiful Berenstain Bears against the Falcons. That's a Fox vehicle. You also have the Rams and Bills, which I got to tell you guys, I think that's a fun game.
Yeah.
The 2-0 Rams at the 2-0 Bills. Not quite sure who either team is yet. I'm interested in this game. I might check in, except I'll be busy with another 1 o'clocker on Fox. Oh, what beautiful team. I can already smell the sweet pheromones of Dick Stockton getting ready for the Washington football team and the Cleveland Browns.
Please, yeah. Great editing for that, RJ. I'm going to need that as a drop.
CBS has the Titans and the Vikings, which I will not be interested in. The Vikings are a bat. Guys, this is a home game for the Vikings. If they lose this week at home to the Titans, which is very possible, Titans are pretty good, it's over for the Vikings, in my opinion. They're not competing in the North. That's
so
not a thing.
You don't think he's going to be screaming, "How you like me now?"
It wasn't that. He was screaming, "How you like
you like that.
You like that. You like that. How do you like me now?" would be the Toby Keith vehicle or the much better Cool Moe Dee vehicle.
How you like now?
Also 1 o'clock, CBS game. I got to tell you guys, I just picked it, and you can't tell me it's not interesting. This could have been a Sunday nighter on a different week. Raiders-Patriots from New England. What
How
does
about
John
it's a 1 o'clock game?
I know. Well,
that was the fourth pick, by the way, and I was going to pick the Patriots. I would have gone right up against you.
I would have loved it. And here's a game, as we said yesterday. This is not sexy. It's not Jessica Rabbit. It's not even Bugs Bunny. The 49ers and the Giants, a 1 o'clock game on Fox. But not to be matched in ugliness. The Bengals and the Eagles, a 1 o'clock game on CBS. Also have the Texans Steelers. And at 4:05, a beautiful, beautiful game. Don, my God, mwah, magnifique, the Jets and the Colts. Just kidding. That is repug. Absolutely repug. Indianapolis, when the line closes, they're already at 11.5 points as a favorite.
The way you describe that game is an uncle that would be accused of doing what Michael was talking about before with Arians.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah, that's how beautiful that
game
is.
You know what? I will tell you this. If you said you, like, we used to have to pick the New York teams,
yeah,
I would grab the 11.5 with the Jets.
I would. I thought about it only because how much worse can it get?
I did too. Hungrily grab it. Hungrily.
I did too. I don't think the Colts are very good. They are 1-1. But, I mean, and Phillip Rivers played pretty well last week. On the season, Phillip Rivers, 55-71 for 577 yards and a couple of touchdowns so far. Also at 4:05, the 0-2 Carolina Panthers at the Los Angeles Chargers. Bucks Broncos. That's the four. Yeah. Oh, yes. Because, of course, it's a Tom Brady 425er. I'm not used to it yet, guys. I'm not used to the Fox 425 Tom Brady game. But that's what we're getting.
But that's what you're getting.
That's what you're getting with the Bucs and Broncos. Let's be honest, guys. That's not a pretty game, Tom Brady or not. That's a gross game.
Nothing with Tom Brady is gross. Stop it.
Also 425, the Lions and Cardinals. But, Don, actually, I could be wrong because there are two 425s on Fox. You also have the Cowboys and Seahawks, which will probably be where we'll see Troy Aikman and Joe Buck. 820, the sexy Packers and Saints. We'll see how dialed in Al Michaels is. And then on Monday night.
The guy takes shots at an all-time great. I don't
Chiefs
get it.
And the Ravens.
I mean, you got to admire it, though, no?
Yeah, you admire it, but then you also you go, really, what is he doing?
Hey, let's go back to last night. We sung the praises of LeBron James and his defensive performance down the stretch against Jamal Murray and the Nuggets. Let's hear LeBron on guarding Jamal Murray late in that game yesterday.
I know it was winning time, and Jamal had it going. Kid is special, so I tell my teammates that I had him, and everyone else can kind of stay at bay and stay home. And I was able to get a couple stops, and we was able to rebound the basketball, which is the most important thing.
Did you see, Michael, right before LeBron kind of went into shutdown mode, Murray had went on another little streak.
That left hand shot,
the switch hands,
amazing.
It was crazy.
It's amazing.
And also, if you guys haven't listened, if you're listening right now and you have not listened to our podcast interview yet with John Calipari, I thought it was one of our best interviews in a while.
Should I listen to that, too, in the car?
If you're bored and you're not with your family, yeah, you should. But for now, listen to Mike Malone, the coach of the Nuggets, talking about his feelings on the refs last night.
They went to the foul line 35 times. I think I'm going to have to go through the proper channels like they did to see if we can figure out how we can get some more free throws. And I think late in the game, I thought Jamal Murray attacked the basket a few times where it appeared to be contact. So we'll watch the film and we'll send our clips in and we'll reach out to the NBA and kind of make our points noted. And whether them going through the proper channels affected tonight or not, I have no idea. The NBA does a great job of listening, and then hopefully, you hope that next game maybe some of those fouls are called.
Yeah, very passive-aggressive from Mike Malone. And also, they do listen because, Michael, didn't they say during the broadcast last night LeBron had sent in tape and he went back to the line, what, 16 times last night?
Yeah, I think if LeBron sends it, then it's a little different.
It comes in a whole different package altogether.
Right. It's got a little crown on it for King.
Brian Windhorst, a.k.a. Windy.
Windy.
Was
you know
on
what
with-
I've noticed with Greenberg? I don't know if you guys have noticed this. Everybody has a nickname. I've been on a show. I don't have a nickname. Everybody has a nickname. Every single person on the show has a nickname, and I don't.
Like, give me another example.
Ryan Clark is RC. He's not Ryan. He's not Clark. He's RC. Every single person I've heard on there, Booger McFarlane, that's a built-in nickname, Booger. I know. I think he calls him Boogs.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow.
So why don't I get a Kayster when I'm on?
He may not know Kayster, but he listens to the show enough to call you Kayster.
But he should make up a nickname for me. I mean, Windhorst, when you look at Windhorst, the last thing you think about is windy.
It depends on what you mean by wind.
But I was talking atmospheric, Don.
You are a bad guy. Let's hear from Windy. Hold on, Windy, you have something important to say about the NBA bubble.
I would say it's the greatest accomplishment in the 75-year history of the league. For them to execute this, to be able to save the season, and in a lot of ways reinvigorate the season, to give the players the platform they are using right now and to manage the challenge that is coming to them, and yet still be able to provide incredible basketball product.
Nah, Don, now you've gotten in my head, and when I'm thinking about Windy, I'm thinking about the John Tush vehicle now.
That's what I was going for.
See, I didn't think you were going that way. I don't think you have respect for what Windhorst says. So, when people talk a lot, they call him Windy. That's what I thought you meant.
He was thinking about this.
We should be ashamed of ourselves.
Greeny should call you instead of Kayster is MK.
Yeah, I would take MK.
I think MK would work. That sounds like a Greeny nickname.
Everybody has a nickname. I've noticed that. Just every single guest.
But here's the thing that
Shefty. Shefter
he's
is never Shefter.
Leaning on is when somebody goes by Michael instead of Mike. he probably thinks that you're someone that wouldn't appreciate a nickname. And I can understand.
Which, by the way, think about how backwards that is. I'm going to say the following thing with all due respect. And when I say all due respect,
that means there's no respect coming.
I mean all due respect. Both Schefter, who I've grown to like, and Windy, who's fine, neither of them boast a personality that's like light and airy and one you'd consider giving a nickname.
Right.
And
that's also Michael, worthy of a nickname.
Michael's a goofball, and he gets treated so seriously.
And it's you also, idiot.
It's, right. These are not flattering nicknames, because the Windy, you can go two places and both are negative. And Shefty is too close to Shifty.
Shefty is right? Shifty.
I'm thinking of the other guest he said, but it struck me the other day that everybody's got a nickname but me.
What about Rachel Nichols?
I mean, the name of the show is Greeny. I haven't heard Rachel on the show. I don't know.
Rachie? Nichols? Nix?
5 cents? I don't know. I don't know what the nickname is.
Oh, man. It's a lot to
digest.
Yeah, it's a lot for us to all
Steve
think
Levy
about
is Leaves.
Really?
Yeah.
You're making that up.
He's Leaves.
It's not like we can't get Greeny on to find out what's behind all this.
Yeah, we'll figure this out. You know, speaking of leaves, I would love if Conor McGregor would leave us all alone.
Oh, beautiful segue.
Thank you. According to our very own Ariel Helwani, Conor McGregor is in serious talks to fight Manny Pacquiao. And McGregor actually tweeted himself that he's, quote, boxing Manny Pacquiao next in the Middle East. It would take place in late December or early January. And the Middle East is
apparently a location. How much money does Pacquiao need? He must not have money. He must not have any of his money left.
I don't think it's that. I bet he's rich as can be. I think he just cannot stop.
Right, he's going to get his brain scrambled. He's nowhere near the fighter he used to be.
But
and
I told you,
the last McGregor fight I bought with Mayweather, it's the last dime I will spend on that sort of fight.
Yeah, I got to tell you, it's even with an older Pacquiao. Here's the thing. What does it do? So what do we learn? If McGregor somehow beats a very old Manny Pacquiao, well, what does that accomplish? What does it add to the legacy? It adds nothing to the legacy of Conor McGregor. It's simply a money grab.
Conor is now a carnival barker. He's not. He's going to go for the show and the money. Fine. If he could find somebody to give him $30 million to fight washed-up fighters, go do it.
Hey,
is his whiskey not doing well?
I know. And this is the way I feel about it. Conor McGregor, for the talent he has and the charisma he has, in terms of what he chooses to do, in both the way he carries himself and the fights he chooses, is one of the great disappointments in modern sports history.
Oh, my good. That is a very strong, very strong take.
He is one of the great disappointments in all of sports.
Oh, my
goodness. The way he carries himself, the things he says about his opponents, the things he's accused of in his personal life, mixed with the decisions that he makes professionally. This? There are so many exciting fighters right now in UFC. And I get it. I know he has issues with Dana White. Okay, but this? You know what? You want to show us who you are? You want to build a legacy, but you don't want to do it with UFC? Build your own company. Conor McGregor's name is so big, he could build a competition if you think Dana White's a ripoff artist. If you think Dana White's a ripoff artist, start your own company and go head-to-head with UFC. That's how big his name is. But instead, just a money grab for another $100 million against a washed-up boxing great? What does it accomplish at the end?
$100 million.
I understand.
He's going to fight Oscar De La Hoya after this?
By the way, I mean, it's conceivable. Oscar wants to get back into it.
That, you know what? You're joking. That's probably it.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
So, guys, I had not seen this story here, and I'm sure Michael has, but I'm glad I did before we lose you, Kaster. Tom Brenneman has resigned. He said, after being suspended, He said, my family and I have decided that I am going to step away from my role as the television voice of the Cincinnati Reds. I would like to thank the Reds, Reds fans, and the LGBTQ community for the incredible support and grace they have shown my family and me.
Now, I wonder, I saw that, if this was a preemptive strike where the Reds had told them, we can't bring you back, and since they have so much respect for the Brennerman family, his father, you know, is iconic, they allowed him to quit so he doesn't have fired next to his name. So he resigned. And I like Tom. He's always been really nice to me. Seems like a nice guy. Almost like a throwback to a Damon Runyon type, that sort of guy. But when he apologized, the thing that lost me, like, we can't say the word that he said, but I think everybody who's listening to the show knows what he said when he didn't know the mic was on. When he said, I have never used that word in my life until that moment. I mean, are we supposed to really believe that? That's the first time you ever used that word is when you were telling the crew and trying to make them laugh or something. That's the first time? So that takes a lot of the oomph away from the apology, because I can't buy that that's the first time you've ever used that word.
I thought the same thing you did, that they probably said, we're not going to bring you back, but
we'll give you an ease out.
That we're going to let you just walk away.
Right.
Because otherwise, why would he do that? I would think, if nothing more, you'd want to come back and prove you're okay and continue.
And he wants
on.
To broadcast again. He's a great broadcaster.
So you think, will Fox bring him back?
I don't know.
I know he's done for this year, I
Fox
think,
had
right?
no problem giving Skip Bayless a big raise.
When was that?
They just signed him to a new deal.
This week?
Yeah. Gigantic
raise.
Well,
right after the Dak thing.
Yeah, over $6 million a year. So what he said about Dak, in my opinion, might have been worse than what Brennerman said.
Well,
Brennerman was just a, you know, kind of an off the cuff
slur. Terrible
slur.
Offensive joke. Yeah, right. I hear what you're saying. And
but
by the way,
they're both bad.
How do they make that money back? How does
that show actually, although it gets killed by First Take, it's higher than anything else on that network. So,
but FS1, I mean, I can't believe anyone is worth $6 million.
I don't get it. I don't know.
Tony Romo worth $18 million? He's getting it.
There's no way. It makes zero sense unless they just love the controversy. Because there are probably more people writing about Skip Bayless and complaining about Skip Bayless than are actually watching Skip Bayless. So at least Fox is getting in every article bashing Skip Bayless. How do you make that money back?
They have to bill that money on the show.
No, but it's the same thing that all these networks go through. It's about the games.
But FS1 probably billed. Like, let's say that Skip makes six and Shannon makes three. They must bill over $9 million, so they make the money back and they bring eyeballs to the...
All right, but do you want to make money? I'm sure you can probably do similar numbers with different people.
I don't know.
But they won't be as controversial. Again, I don't
know. Don, maybe no one would find it. Maybe no one would find FS1.
Because he's so loathsome to people that people find it.
But you really... I guess he's getting older, so maybe he'll just run out of time. But at some point, this is someone is going to say something that's going to get him fired. Right? I mean, it's only a matter of time.
Right.
Guys, on this day in sports history, my goodness, a lot has happened on this day. I'll give you a few. Well, a sad one. Jose Fernandez died on this day in 2016. Mm. The Marlins right-hander in that tragic accident, the boating accident. Arnold Palmer died on that same day in 2016. Michael Jordan announced that he was coming out of retirement for the second time to play for the Wizards. And then these moments happened on this very same date. Let's start with Vince Carter.
Bonato gets with a sloppy pass. Carter inside! And the crowd responds to a spectacular dunk from Vince Carter.
Now you see why Frederick Weiss is going to go play in Greece. He didn't want to see that on a nightly basis.
I mean, Frederick Weiss, who's famous for getting mashed on by Vince Carter in that moment. Also, in New Orleans on this same date.
Michael Kanin, who has made a headline for missing 6 of his 8 field goal attempts this year, is now back to just punting and kicking off. The former Saint Morton Anderson is here for most field goals. Look out! Right through! A kick block by Steve Gleason! It is scooped and scored by Curtis DeLoach! Touchdown, New Orleans!
That, of course, in 2006 after Hurricane Katrina and the great moment by the great Steve Gleason. And also on this day in 2014 in the Bronx.
Meek deals. Base hit to right field. Here comes Richardson. Here's the throw from Markakis. Richardson is safe. Derek Jeter ends his final game with a walk-off single. Derek Jeter, where fantasy becomes reality. Did you have any doubt?
There it is, ladies and gentlemen, and that will do it for ENN on a Friday.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 2:55 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.